This morning we're going to look at another one of Jesus' parables recorded for us in Luke chapter 20, chapter 12. We'll begin reading at verse 35, Luke 12, verse 35. This is a parable for the disciples. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So let us reflect on this parable. You know the old saying, it's hard to get good help. Well, it's true. It's hard to get good help. People who do their work well and faithfully are very valuable. And this is exactly the kind of people that the Lord expects in his kingdom. Jesus is not unaware of the deep streak of selfishness and self-interest running through our hearts. He is also aware of the tendrils of fear and intimidation that can choke the human heart. And he knows the subtle pull of worldliness on our hearts. So here he warns us, and he encourages us with a promised reward, that we might remain faithful and diligent servants for him. This is a parable that is taught to believers. The Lord's return is unpredictable. And the point here is, how will he find you? Will you be blessed on that day? If you're going to be blessed on that day, you have to be alert on that day. You have to be dressed in readiness. Jesus uses the image of the loins girded up. Those were, they wore robes in those days. And if you're going to be doing some work, you have to hitch up the robes and tie them around your waist so you can work. In our day, it would mean have your sleeves rolled up, have your running shoes on, and your jacket ready in case it rains. And Jesus says also to keep your lamps lit, ready to work even at night. He does not allow us to sleep on the job. Both commands in verse 35, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, are continuous commands in the Greek. This is the state of alertness that Jesus' disciples are to keep at all times. Ready to serve and your lamps burning, even if it's at night, so that you're ready to get up when the Lord appears. So how do you keep alert in the kingdom of God? A few things. Keep yourself pure, away from sin as much as you can. Keep yourself armed and ready with the weapons of faith and righteousness, and you have to practice using them. Keep yourself remembering God and remembering your neighbor at all times. Keep yourself remembering the grace of God and what Jesus has done for you, and that he is coming back at an hour that you cannot predict. And when he comes, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Those are going to be happy servants. They're going to be happy when Christ returns, because they have been alert, they have been on duty, and they're waiting for him and expecting him to come back at any time. So we have to be caring for the affairs of the Lord's kingdom. This is the point of the parable. He returns, he gives the illustration of a master who is returning from a wedding. Now, a wedding in those days went on for 7 days. So the master has been away for a long time. And the servants at home have lots of opportunities to goof off and to eat all his food and drink all his wine. And he says, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. He returns from this glorious celebration of the wedding feast. And how does it feel to come home to a mess? Maybe you know the book, The Cat in the Hat, by Dr. Seuss, where the kids are left at home alone and they start having fun. And then this cat shows up and turns the house into a total mess. Well, when the master returns to his church, he doesn't want to find the church like that. He wants to find his servants at their duty, geared up, even in the middle of the night, serving if they have to. So the men in verse 36 are the ones that are waiting for their master and jump up to serve him as soon as he knocks on the door. They're not all engrossed with Facebook or text messaging. They're not goofing off and forgetting their master. They're not just taking a day off or a week off because the master isn't around. Now, as Christians, we often think about Christ serving us. And we review these things. And these are good things to review, because Christ came and provided atonement for us so that our sins can be forgiven. And Christ, in union with us, through his Holy Spirit, is leading us to sanctification more and more as we go on. He also provides protection for his church, and he intercedes for us constantly. These are things that Christ is doing for us. But here in this parable, we are brought to think about us serving Christ. And Jesus says this is terribly important. It's not an option. You're either serving him when he comes, or you'll be facing his wrath. Remember that when Jesus returns, he's coming as a judge. He's going to judge the whole world, and he's going to begin with the household of God. And if he finds you ready and serving, he says that he's going to serve you. He's going to gird himself and serve you. He will have you sit down to eat and will come and serve his servants. What a blessing. What a great blessing to have on that day. We see later on in Luke 22 at verse 27, Jesus explains to his disciples, "For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves." So Jesus has set the example for us all in his very life. And you probably will remember in John 13 how Jesus came and washed the disciples' feet. He took a towel, placed it around his waist, and then washed his feet. And washing the feet was the most menial of labors that you could possibly do in that culture. And by doing this menial labor, Jesus teaches us that we're not above menial labor, that we are called to serve Him and to serve the people of God. The kingdom of Christ is a kingdom of servants, and it is headed by the servant of the Lord. It is populated by servants of the servant of the Lord. And the serving servants on that day when he returns will be served by the master. Now God now gives you, as you can see in the context of this chapter, clothes and food and salvation. But there is a special promise in this parable of Jesus coming and serving you on the day that he returns. He will reward faithfulness in his church. Now, will you be surprised on that day? None of us know when Jesus will return. And as you know, false teachers have been making predictions all along. And Jesus warned about that before he went to the cross. You're going to hear about false Christs and false prophets. And none of them know when Jesus will return. He says in verse 40, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And if you do not expect, then you cannot figure it out. It's that simple. And it's a waste of energies, prompted by a simplistic reading of the scriptures or by a foolish hermeneutics, to try to predict when Jesus will return. His return is unpredictable. Paul taught that to the Thessalonians when he said, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and sober, so we will all be surprised on that day." And some of us are going to be surprised by terror, because some of the servants of Christ are going to be asleep. Some of the servants of Christ are going to be drunk with worldliness. Some of the servants of Christ will have their weapons of righteousness on the floor, gathering dust, dumped on that growing pile of your archives. I was into this once. Are you with those who enjoy life on the earth and who neglect the Lord, shutting their ears to His word, doing their own thing, thinking their own thoughts, instead of submitting to His word and listening attentively to what Jesus teaches? If you continue to do that, remember that on the day that Jesus returns, it's too late to repent. He gives us some very sobering words here. "If that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." Here, Jesus is describing hypocrites in his kingdom. And hypocrisy means that you are not a believer. It doesn't mean that you are a weak believer. It doesn't mean that you are a babe in your sanctification. It doesn't mean that your past and your circumstances and your character and your personal problems mean that you cannot be faithful all the time. Hypocrisy, Jesus teaches here, leads to eternal death with unbelievers. So when Jesus returns, will you be surprised by terror or will you be surprised by joy? Perhaps you are suffering now in service to the Lord. You are mocked by some of your friends and even family who don't believe you, who don't believe in Christ. Maybe you are suffering because of your honesty in a corrupt world. Maybe you're suffering for loving your brothers and your sisters and they don't even notice. Maybe you're suffering because of injustice in your life and you cry out like Habakkuk, Lord, when are you going to do something about this? But Jesus teaches us that the one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. So we are surprised. We are surprised by joy to read that all the promises that the Lord has given us in the Bible are fulfilled in Jesus Christ and are for you, and not for you alone, if you are a faithful believer, but for a countless multitude. For those who didn't make fun of you when you were being faithful, for those who didn't persecute you for righteousness, for those who humbly submitted to the sufferings and the tribulations that the Lord allowed them as their lot, to those who loved the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, knowing that this life is a short pilgrimage and that the kingdom is coming and the Master will return at a day that we cannot know. So on that day when Jesus returns, those of you who are faithful servants are going to be overwhelmed by the generosity of the Lord. He's going to come and he is going to say to the faithful and wise steward, I will make you ruler over my household to give my servants their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. There are promises. There are two promises in these two parallels, in these two parables. The master will have you sit at the table and he will wait on you. And the master will put you in charge of all of his possessions. This is a way for Jesus to tell us that we are inheriting his kingdom along with him as children of God. Now this particular promise might seem to be addressed to those who are entrusted in this world with feeding and caring for the Lord's servants, especially pastors. But maybe this is what Paul has in mind when he writes about deacons. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing. He means in the kingdom. And beyond all this, all Christians are servants in the house of God. You each have your tasks in the kingdom. Are you doing them? Where do you stand today? You know the Master's will. It's just been explained to you here in Luke. And when Jesus returns, we are punished not only for doing wrong, but for failing to do right and for failing to obey Jesus. That's what he says in verse 47. That servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Now, you've been given much in this church and in Reformed churches in general. You're surrounded with people who take biblical faith with the seriousness that it deserves. You are given Bible-centered and Bible-driven teaching in all the ministries of the church. You're trained in holiness, in faithfulness, and in the glorious plan of God that he has revealed in the gospel. And you're always given new opportunities for further training and practice in ministry. And you're given opportunities to give of yourself in service to the church. And you, in this generation, have been given much in your life. You're living at a time when you can worship and minister and study freely. You're living in a time of great physical ease. You have lots of food, shelter. We can travel very easily. We can communicate all over the world. We're living in a time when Christ has indeed come into the world and explained his work and is carrying it out. So we know a lot more than John the Baptist knew, for example. How would you feel if the people to whom you entrusted your children, either at school or Sunday school, didn't take care of your children properly or didn't teach them the truth? How would you feel about that? Well, the Lord has set up a means, the church, to care for the children of God. And the Lord has set up stewards. Each one of us is a steward to care for the children of God. The Lord has set up a way of calling those who are still in darkness to himself. And the Lord has set up a way of witnessing to all the unbelieving rulers of the earth. The Lord has set up a way of serving the poor and the needy, and each Christian disciple is a part of that design. He trusts you to do what he has called you to do. Now, we all know the Master's expectations. Some of us have been given more. Some of us have been given less. You don't expect the same level of service from your young children as you do from your older children. You don't expect the same quality of care from your mother as you do from your physician. And the Lord has given to you as he wills to give to you. And in proportion to his having given to you, he expects you to take the gifts that he has given to you and use them to serve him. And Jesus warns us here that there are differing rewards in heaven and different degrees of punishment in hell. And he's the one who makes that distinction. No one else can. So we hear the Master's will here. He desires to see his stewards, to see his servants, always ready to serve. Even at night, if your neighbor comes pounding on the door and asks you for 3 loaves of bread for visitors that have come, you're going to get up and give him the loaves of bread. That was a parable that we looked at last week. So the Master has always been teaching the church his will. In Psalm 32 we read, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding." Brothers and sisters, the Lord calls you to be ready and to be active. What are you doing to serve Christ? What are you doing to serve the Church of Christ? It is Christ's church. It's not your own church. We call it our church, but that's a euphemism. It's not our church. It's Christ's church. And we all have a place, and we all have gifts, and we all have a purpose in the church. And since the Lord's return is unpredictable, how will he find you? Will he find you girded and serving, your lamps lit? Or will he find you sitting around with your feet up, text messaging, and taking care of your own business? Blessed are those slaves whom the Master shall find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. What a great blessing, Lord, the Lord Jesus is preparing for his faithful disciples. Let us give thanks. Lord, we thank you for your many mercies. We thank you for the gifts that you have given to each one of us. We thank you for your call to be ready to serve at any time. And we look forward to that day when you will return. Lord, help us to be waiting for you, alert and serving. Help us to keep the kingdom of heaven uppermost in our minds, in our hearts, in our purposes in life. Grant, O Lord, that all of these servants hearing this message today might be girded and serving on the day that you return, that we might all rejoice together as we sit down at your table and you come and serve us yourself. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God. Blessed are you, Lord Jesus, our Redeemer, and grant us the gift of your Holy Spirit to understand your teaching and to carry it out. And this we pray to your glory and your praise. Amen.